There are some people who can't wait for winter to be over, and then there are others who really enjoy it and kind of embrace the season. And I think what's true is that whichever groups you fall into, chances are that either way, you live through a long and often cold and snowy Wisconsin winter, and there may be times during the course of the winter when you're feeling a little blue, regardless of how you tend to be on a day-to-day basis. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Going to learn some great techniques to help you and me win winter. Our guest today, Shyla Mergame, is a senior health and sports psychologist at the University of Wisconsin Hospitals and Clinics. Her clinical interests include psychotherapy with patients who have mood or anxiety disorders and adjustment issues. And Shyla, thank you for joining us today.
Great to be here, Larry.
She has this great smile on her face too, and she's upbeat. You look like you're beating winter.
I'm trying to win winter here.
So you have a winter survival kit. What is a winter survival kit?
Well, we know on average about 10 to 20% of the American population gets the winter blues, and this number is higher in northern states like Wisconsin, and especially a winter like this where it's been so cold. Many people have been talking about feeling more down and struggling. So several years ago, I was finishing up my training at Stanford in California and got a job offer at the University of Wisconsin and drove here and thought, how am I going to deal with these very cold winters? And I really struggled my first 2 years, and especially that year where we had over 100 inches of snow.
Yeah.
I was lethargic, fatigued, feeling down, and I thought, I need to, unless I'm going to move somewhere, I need to create a way of surviving. And really not just surviving, but thriving. And thus the idea for a winter survival kit came on board. We have one in our car. We should have one in our life because it's a long season. And we have to figure out how to get through it in the best way.
And I'd be interested in knowing how our listeners get through it. Maybe you have some tricks of your own or some ways that you deal with winter. Coping techniques, or maybe you just really embrace it. What's the key to your enjoyment? On the other hand, maybe you've been diagnosed with a SAD or seasonal affective disorder. You know, appreciate hearing your experiences relating to that as well. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Can email us at talk@wpr.org. Or you can post on my Facebook page, just go to the Larry Mueller Show, and we would we'd certainly love to hear from you. And so you have several suggestions for people, and as I was looking over those suggestions, I thought, oh, well, I do quite a bit of this.
That's great to hear, Larry.
But I hadn't thought about it, but I mean, it's what I've kind of put together to but not all. And so I'm learning some things here, too. And one of the things you talk about is just changing your mindset.
Yes, because I always say if we can't get out of winter, it's best to learn how to get into it. And there are gifts to every season. I use the analogy of snow crocuses. They are often the first flowers to bloom, and you see them coming up in the midst of snow. And that this a little bit of warmth and sunlight can cause these dormant seeds to flower. In the same way, if we start to change our mindset about winter, we can use this dark, cold, inward time to really help foster some of our own gifts that may be lying dormant within underground. And so really trying to appreciate some of the unique aspects, or this downtime can really help us focus on what we want to have happen, what we want to create. That's much more effective to go towards things we want to develop in our life or in ourselves versus just spending a lot of energy trying to avoid winter.
And so favorite activity or sort of a hobby or treating yourself maybe to something you...
Definitely. So we can use this time to focus on maybe things we want to develop in ourselves, maybe trying a new winter sport, maybe focusing on a hobby or Even just treating ourselves to something, the gift of pleasure or joy, things that will uplift our spirit, planning a special outing or doing a fun activity that would feel like a treat can really boost our mood.
We always have, I shouldn't say always, but we often have a puzzle going on one of the tables in the house. And, you know, if you're not going to go outside, it's kind of fun to family to sit down and work on a puzzle.
That's great, and a great winter activity that you can all do together.
And there are some card games, too, that my daughter typically beats me at soundly, which can be a little depressing from my point of view, but she certainly enjoys doing it. So there can be indoor, you know, when it's the chill factor's 30 below.
Right. We need some outdoor activities, but also some indoor activities where we can do at home, especially this year where we've seen really cold temperatures.
Yeah.
You know, the average a few days ago was 13.2 degrees. We're needing some at-home activities to bring some joy into the household.
We have Andrea in Wonder Lake, Illinois, who has a comment. And let's go to her. Hi, Andrea.
Good morning.
Morning.
I think this is a multi-pronged approach, and I'm kind of a case study. I am born and bred Illinois, have lived at least half my adult life in southern states. We are in, you know, the deep snows right now, and we just came back from a two-week trip south. So I would like to think this is, as many people say, all in your head, but when you are outdoors, it's 85 degrees, the sun is shining, you feel your mood soaring, you're exercising, and then you come back, and I swear, you know, I try very hard, but 3 or 4 days, here I am again. I would like to stress the importance of exercise, 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 if you possibly can. The two problems with that are it's much more difficult in the winter, just you can't walk outside and so forth unless you're a real hardy soul and you cross-country ski, but it's important. Maybe just go get a gym membership for a couple of months. Most of them will let you join and unjoin. And if you can possibly do it, the second problem, though, is making yourself do it, because there's this sort of cyclical spiral where you just don't care whether you do it or not, but you have to make yourself do it.
Well, you make some good points, I think. And Shyla? What do you think?
Andrea, I love that you said that a winter survival kit is a multi-pronged approach, because we need a variety of things in that kit. And not everything works for everyone, but you really hit on something important. Exercise is really one of the most protective factors against depression and the winter blues. And movement really is the goal. And there are a variety of ways we can move outside. And especially in Wisconsin, there's the gift of winter sports. And so sometimes people will pick up a winter sport. I know my life changed when I picked up cross-country skiing.
Yeah.
And Andrea, you talk about exercising at home as well, either using a video, DVD, or even doing a gym membership. But we want to exercise. Research shows that trying to exercise several times a week for 30 to 60 minutes, doing both aerobic exercise but also strength training, seems to be what's helpful for mild to moderate forms of depression. And motivation is key, right? How to get yourself motivated. So build in some accountability there if you can, with a friend or using an app that you can track your progress or goal setting is important.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Andrea. Appreciate the call. And, you know, you and I were talking before the show. I get up in the morning. I'm up early, so it's like around 5 o'clock, and I'm going out for maybe 3 miles, a walk, jog, or whatever. This morning there was a lot of snow, and it was a little icy, so Larry was walking more than he was running or jogging, for sure. But still, I was out for 45 minutes or so and 3 miles in. And gosh, you feel so much better when you're finished something like that.
Yeah, and thanks for sharing that, Larry, because what you have demonstrated is you've created a habit of exercise. It's just part of your routine. And 5 a.m., there's probably not too many distractions, so it's hard to say no. And it sounds like you have some good winter gear. You know, some people say, oh, there's never bad weather. There's only bad gear. And we know that there's bad weather, but there is good gear that can really help movement outside, especially on those sunny days, can really give us extra energy and help help us sleep more deeply as well during these winter months and feel more rested.
And I have hiking, actually I have hiking tennis shoes that are, they're light, but they're kind of knobby on the bottom. So, you know, I get through the snow and the ice a little better with those than sort of standard tennis shoes, let's put it that way.
Yeah, we need good shoes, right? Hiking boots or even they
or
have
boots,
some things that you can strap onto the shoes so you're less likely to slip on the ice.
Yeah, so that for me. And, you know, there are times when I wake up and I'm thinking, oh, do I really want to get up? But then I know that once, as soon as I get up and get out there, I'm going to love it. I'm going to be having a good time.
And you're talking about what also helps motivate you is remembering the feeling you'll have afterwards.
Right.
And so that can get you up at 5 a.m., remembering the good feeling, those endorphins that we really need to help us survive winter.
And I do have an app, which is a Map My Run, and it's you know, if they take into account your weight and so forth, and they give you how many calories you burned and how, you know, far you went and a nice little picture of your trip.
Yeah, and Larry, you showed me that picture before the show started, and it's quite pretty. You had some circles and back and forth down some side streets, so that's great reinforcement.
Joan in Boaz, Wisconsin, up next. John, I'm sorry. John, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I love your show, Larry. I was born and raised in Wisconsin, never lived anywhere else. And the winter blues sets in, you know, sad and all that. But the best thing I can recommend for everybody is just to take a nice, long walk in the woods.
Mm-hmm. I think I'd agree with you on that, although my long walks are usually in town just because I can walk out my front door and go. But what about a walk in the woods, Shiloh?
Fantastic. And in Wisconsin, we have so many state parks and woods that really create a sense of a winter wonderland. So whether it's snowshoeing or hiking, getting out in nature can also be quite restorative and can lift our energy. And our state parks also have candlelit snowshoeing and skiing, which are free to the public and great thing to bring your family to and create some of that kind of uniqueness or magic of the season.
I remember just thinking, thanks again, John. I was thinking about our last, we went cross-country skiing in the woods in one of the state parks, Kiganza State Park, and my wife takes off and goes like crazy, and my daughter and I go the sort of a normal run, our normal route, and slow, quite a bit slower. But you think we saw, there was a kind of a herd of probably 15 deer, and we saw a fox, and you see a lot of bird life. And so, you know, it's really a lot of fun.
It is.
I love doing it with my daughter.
And they have a bonfire and hot chocolate, which is often the best part at the end.
John, thanks again. You can join in, too, by the way. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. How do you embrace winter? What's your key to your enjoyment of winter? Do you have a hard time with it? How do you overcome the problems? What about SAD, seasonal affective disorder? We appreciate hearing what it's like for you and how you've been able to address that, too. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org or post on my Facebook page at the Larry Mehler Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. I'm Larry Mehler. Our guest today, Shiloh Murgain, who is a PhD senior health and sports psychologist at the University of Wisconsin Hospitals and Clinics. Her clinical interests are psychotherapy with patients with mood and anxiety and adjustment issues, among other things. It's great to have her here, and of course, it's always great to have Judith Thiers-Poisson as our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hope you'll stay tuned, because coming up at 11:45 today, we're going to visit with award-winning Wisconsin children's book author and illustrator Kevin Hankus. He's going to share what makes a really good children's book and how to read with kids. Right now, though, we're talking with health psychologist Shyla Mergain about thriving in winter. You can do it. I'm convinced you can do it. Well, maybe not everybody. Can everybody do it? I mean, is it either some people? I mean, we're just not going to work, Shyla?
Yeah, well, I think about it as a day-to-day plan and starting early in the season. So just getting started now can help us even plan for next year as well.
I know one of our callers had mentioned coming back from a couple-week vacation, and I think you talk about working toward a goal, and I think one of the goals can be something like a vacation, or at least to plan for it and so forth to help get you through.
If you are going to take a vacation, many people find it helpful to plan it for the winter months and trying to go someplace warm. But even if you're not able to do that, one of my favorite things to do locally is going to Olbrich Gardens and going in the inner conservancy, and just being around some of the blooming flowers and heat can give you that dose of spring, even if it's cold outside.
I tell my students in my class that for a great date, they should take their date to the right there. And it's $1 to get in. And the feeling at this time of the year in that conservancy is just can't be beat. Mm-hmm. It really can't be beat. Well, so working toward a goal. How about Dick and Viroqua? What's on your mind?
Well, I used to have an attitude about fall, changing of the seasons, and I didn't always like the gray you see in the trees. But I've changed my attitude to looking towards the different kinds of gray that you see. You know, I mean, there's just all kinds of shades of gray in the fall. And in the wintertime, I look at especially the shadows on the snow in the late afternoon. Mm-hmm. I just think it is so gorgeous to see the trees casting a shadow on the snow. I look forward to that.
Yeah. You got the right attitude, Dick.
So it's sort of an attitude thing that you... And another thing is I just came back from Jamaica, too, and got my little sunburn. And it was fun being down there, but it's just really fun being back here, especially on a white, you know, when we just had, you know, 4 inches of snow.
Yeah.
And so it's beautiful. But you don't have to go out and mow the grass. You don't have to go out and water everything. And I'm a type A personality, too. And I love gardening, and I love mowing grass. I just thought, you know, there's no pressure right now. Just kind of sit back and enjoy, you know.
Not only that, but you're not gonna get bitten by a mosquito or a tick either.
Exactly. You can go outside and enjoy it. So attitude is very important, and you know, it takes a little work to do it, but.
Yeah, I, Shyla, what do you think?
Yeah, Dick, you're really speaking to, instead of seeking out a different experience, just having new eyes and appreciating all the colors or scenery or beauty of this season. And the philosopher Albert Camus said, "In the depths of winter, I finally learned that within me there was an invincible summer." So in the same way, we could even have different eyes as we use this time to work on specific goals or develop parts of ourselves as well, even just use this time to take good care of ourselves, whether we talked about the importance of exercise or also just making sure we're eating well, because this time of year we can crave carbohydrates and sugary foods. And so making sure that we're eating good protein and enough vegetables and fruit and getting our vitamin D3 as well. That's another part of that toolkit, that we can become deficient in vitamin D3 because the sun's rays aren't strong enough to give us the vitamin D naturally. Our body isn't producing it naturally enough. So getting it through mushrooms, fish, or even some people benefit from supplements as well. Great thing to talk to your doctor about.
Yeah. I actually take a supplement, a vitamin supplement, and I don't know if it helps, but Seems to.
It's probably keeping you healthier.
Thanks, Dick. Thanks a lot. What a great attitude. I love it. Dave in Menominee Falls, how about you? Hi.
Well, we have a traditional bonfire, super chilly dinner, and sci-fi movie marathon in the middle of February. We have a number of birthdays, and we celebrate it that way. We dig out the fire pit and have a big fire in the backyard and feed about 10 to 20 people, and then just watch some old movies and have a lot of laughs that way.
Oh, man, that sounds great.
It does, Dave.
Yeah, fun.
And I think Larry and I wished we could be there, and hopefully we'll get the invite.
The invite's for this weekend. We're having it this weekend.
Oh, my goodness.
What's great about that is you're planning it for mid-end of February, and that's often when we need that pick-me-up. Winter can be exciting early on where they have the holidays, but by mid-February or March, it's a great thing to plan something that would be fun. And what I also love about what you're doing, you're involving others, because having social support and staying connected to people really boosts our mood. It's you know, so important. It's so easy to get isolated and stay indoors. So we do want to seek out connection with people, whether it's a bonfire and sci-fi movies or just sending emails or making phone calls to people.
I love it. Do you cook the chili over the bonfire or do you do that inside?
Well, we used to cook heat up coffee over the bonfire.
Uh-huh.
We kind of make everything inside, but we have cooked, you know, bratwurst and hamburgers and things over one of those tripod grills, and that's always been kind of fun, too.
Oh, yeah, and you get the marshmallows out, I bet.
Well, of course.
Oh. You got to have the marshmallows.
Those s'mores.
And s'mores.
Sounds great, Dave. Have a blast.
Thank you, Dave. That sounds like a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Barb in Oshkosh, it's your turn. Hi, Barb.
Hi. Well, first of all, I love listening to your show all winter long because it cheers me up, because I just love everything you have to say and all your guests.
Thank you.
And then secondly, one of the things I do in the winter is I go to the YMCA, because that way I can get exercise and I can socialize, because I always feel a little isolated in the winter. The neighbors, you know, if you take a walk, often you're the only one taking the walk. The neighbors aren't out. No one's out. And so I think the YMCA helps me to do both.
That is a very, very good point. Shyla, you comment?
Yeah, Barb, I love that you have the Larry Mueller show as part of your winter survival kit. So keep on having that in there. Yes, because having social support, as I said, is so protective against depression, but it also, there's some health benefits to social support. We see having good social support can boost our immune system. So by you not only socializing but exercising, you're getting two of those tools in that winter survival kit. And I also can imagine that your friends who are exercising with you are holding you accountable, that if you don't show up for a few days, they may say, hey, where are you, Barb? So that builds in some accountability to keep you going.
Yep.
Oh, yes, that's very true.
Yeah. Thanks, Barb.
You're welcome.
Yeah, appreciate it very much. Alan in Duluth, Minnesota. Hello.
Hello there, Larry. You know, we see these signs around that say celebrate the season, and winter is the season that I have chosen to celebrate. And I've lived in Minnesota and in Alaska and have discovered some adaptations that I think are helpful. One of them is just to simply look at winter, and especially the last of February, early March, is the sweet spot of winter, because the days are long and the temperatures are moderate, and hopefully the snow is good as it is this year. But when we get to these shoulder seasons, ice is a problem, and so I found that I could take small screws, they're sheet metal screws, or the kind that you put your drain pipes together with from your gutters, and screw them from the outside of your shoe into the sole of the shoe of your hiking boot or your running shoe, and the raised hex head gives you wonderful traction on ice and compacted snow, and that extends the sweet spot of winter through the icy season on the shoulders of winter. So that's my idea for today.
Oh, so that's a cheap way to make it safer walking on ice in the wintertime. There's there, and you can buy little attachments too for your.
You can. Yeah, but your local store, little treads
for treads the bottom
of you. Yep, and Alan, great to be creative, to enjoy that sweet spot that's just starting just around the corner here in our winter months.
Well, appreciate it very much, Alan. We had a Facebook comment from Terry who says, laugh, 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 winter away. Every morning, no matter what the season, I stand in front of the mirror and laugh. Just seeing yourself doing this makes you laugh even more. It's contagious, so expect the kids to join in. And what a wonderful way to begin the day for everybody. And even later in the day, when you feel less than stress-free, just remembering how you look laughing at yourself will make you laugh even more. What a great idea.
That is great. And it's called laughter therapy. And I was just in a yoga class over the weekend where the instructor made us laugh for 1 minute. And you had a group of 50 people laughing together. And it really helped. So laughter or even just smiling, some research shows that that can uplift our mood. So finding the humor and shared humor with the people we live and work with.
I love it. As Sharon in Appleton, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Yes, thank you. I do have seasonal affective disorder, and I use the light box every morning for about a half an hour or 40 minutes. And this is the first winter I've used it, and it's helped a lot. I changed out a lot of the lights in our house, so we have brighter, higher, full spectrum lighting throughout the house now. And then I sit with my light box when I eat breakfast for like half an hour. And it really has helped considerably. It's inexpensive. I think I paid $90 for the light box. Mm-hmm. And it was a good way to get through the doldrums of the winter.
Oh, so the light box, what do you think?
Sharon, I'm really glad that you found that for yourself and have been using it, because the shortened daylight hours during fall and winter disrupt our natural circadian rhythms. Exposure to light can be beneficial. Today's a sunny day. It's a great day to get outdoors and get some of that natural light in the morning or around noontime. And many people find that having a light therapy box is very effective, especially if you struggle with seasonal affective disorder, which is a mood disorder that occurs recurrently, usually during the winter months. When you're buying a light box, I really recommend talking with your physician, because you want the right kind of box with the right kind of bulb. Usually 2,500 to 10,000 lux of light is what is recommended. Mm. When you're using it, best to use it in the morning regularly for about 30 minutes, just making sure you don't look directly into the light box.
So what do? You have the box in front of you?
Have it in front of you or alongside of you. You can use it while you're eating breakfast or while you're reading the newspaper. And
so it just focuses the light in an area, mm-hmm. and probably
kind of
on
like
your
sunlight.
Face.
Yeah, kind of like sunlight streaming in. It's focusing, but you just don't want to look directly into it because it can hurt the retina and the eyes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you again, Sharon. Appreciate your call. And you mentioned seeing your doctor or calling your doctor, and I think that was part of your toolkit too, wasn't it?
Yeah. If you find that you're really struggling this time of year with your mood or getting too sedentary or isolated, there is medical help available. So talking with your physician, some people find medication to be helpful this mm-hmm. time of year, or doing some form of counseling or psychotherapy can really help boost our mood and get those winter blues to fall away.
Jackie in Madison. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, thank you for the show. I'm a native Wisconsinite, although I did spend 22 years in Southern California. And when I came back here, I came back in the dead of winter. I thought I'd be traumatized, but I wasn't at all. I just went right back into the beat of things. And what I find really neat about winter, there's a special kind of quietness that you only get in winter times, because the snow seems to absorb all the sounds around it. So if you ever notice when you're walking late at night alone, this is a special kind of quiet that you only get during wintertime.
I agree. I think you're absolutely right. Because I'm out walking at 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm sort of getting the same kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's usually frankly, at that hour. There's usually not a lot of wind or right. no wind, and so it's quiet that way. And you hear the crunch of, you know, your feet in the snow. But that's I mean, it's you're right. There's a special kind of quietness associated.
Yeah, the snow absorbs the other sounds.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Shiloh, what do you think?
Yeah, that's beautifully said of that quietness. And it's similar to that dormancy that seeds are experiencing underground, that dark quiet mm-hmm. allows something to germinate. And so we can use, as I said earlier, some of that quiet, dark stillness to really begin to listen to ourselves. Yeah. And sometimes some of those deeper desires or values or what's really important to us can rise to the surface because we have some space to really listen.
It's one of the reasons I like walking in that at that time of the day, and I do it alone. My wife runs, but she'll take off in the other direction on her run, and so I'm by myself. And just to be, you get to be a little more introspective.
You can, and you can use that time to ask questions of, you know, how are things going in my life?
Yeah.
What needs to be tended to? What changes do I need to make? Or what are some of those inner values that I want to foster and take action for? Or even just today, how do I want to use today? Where do I want to go? What do I want to say? What do I want to do?
Yeah, absolutely. Karen in Madison. Hi, thanks for calling.
Hi. I'm so happy you're having this program because winter is actually my favorite season, and I think people need to spend more time outside, not less time outside. When I was a kid in Wisconsin in the 50s through the 70s, it literally was colder, but we spent a great deal of time outside, and I learned to have fun making snow forts and sledding and ice skating and walking. And I love that gentleman's comment about how quiet and beautiful winter can be. One of the things that distresses me is that parents overreact to the cold and keep their kids indoors instead of giving them good clothing, which you can even pick up for little money at Goodwill, and playing outside. Because the kids aren't outside when they're really, really young. They grow up into adults that hate winter. And I decided when I was a kid that winter wasn't going to go away, so I was going to learn to love it, and I do. And I actually mourn the fact that we have had such warm winters. So I would encourage all parents to get their kids outside more and play. You know, make those snow forts, make those snowmen. Teach your kids that winter is wonderful.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, Karen, some great thoughts. And kids do this naturally. If you look at a young child who's seen winter for the first time, there's a sense of awe and wonder that we can lose as adults as we're sloshing through rush hour traffic yesterday in the snow or cleaning off our car. So we can foster the same attitude in our children of embracing winter and thriving in winter. I think one of my biggest teachers is my six-year-old neighbor, and she built a snow slide recently, and you see her whizzing down it. we can kind of manage our... We can figure out how to make winter work for us. We can really, it's a great gift to give to our children.
Absolutely. Thank you, Karen. And Eric in Marengo, Wisconsin, turn to you. Hi.
Hey, Larry, how's it going?
Great. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I love winter. Living here in northern Wisconsin, I think you have to love winter. I downhill ski, I cross-country ski. I get out in snowshoe, and I've been moving a lot of snow this year. I have a Uper scooper, and I couldn't survive without that. I can move tons and tons and tons of snow. It's great exercise, and I actually celebrate winter. I celebrate that Lake Superior is almost frozen over, and I think one of the best things about this winter is that we have a whole generation of kids who in 30 or 40 years are going to be able to say, I remember back in the winter of 13, 14, the snow was up to my waist. It was 10 below zero for a solid week. And that's a great thing.
I think you're right.
Yeah, it gives us bragging rights, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's for sure. And the skiing is a lot of fun. and just being actually moving snow. I do a lot of snow shoveling myself, and I also, I admit, I also have a snowblower because we have a very large driveway.
It's great exercise.
But it's even with that, and then I run up and down the street and, you know, do the neighbors and all that. So it's fun. Lynn in Lake Forest, Illinois. Hi, thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say that for those of us who are confined to the great indoors, we still can look out and see the beauty of the winter skies. And especially in the early morning, sort of the pre-sunrise, oftentimes there's this pinky, peachy, lavender color combination, which is short-lived, but it's spectacular. My only advice is don't try to pour a cup of coffee while you're looking out the kitchen window.
Voice of experience there, Lynn.
I think so. And then the sunsets also, and the thing that I really notice in winter is that you can see so much more of the sky because we have a lot of deciduous trees, which, of course, in the summer are filled out. Mm-hmm. And it's in the winter you see what I call the sculpture of the trees or the architecture or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And the ones that have a few leaves still on them and so on, and anything with berries, it really stands out against the snow. And at night, the moonlight, if it comes through the icicles, which I'm now watching dripping off the eaves, you know, with the sunlight coming through them, but I've seen them in the evening with the moonlight illuminating the snow, and it's almost bright. Not like daylight bright, but it's pretty bright, and it's just a different view, and it's something you can do without, if you can't get out like we used to be able to get out and winter hike and, you know, that kind of thing. So anyway,
it's some great points.
That's just a beautiful picture that you painted, Lynn, of the view from your home. And to me, it speaks to just really noticing and observing all that is there, that if we can just stop, pause, and almost take like a mental photograph, that these images of winter can really bring you a sense of joy.
Well, the sun rises and the sun sets. They're just some beautiful in the winter. Thank you, Lynn. And Maddie in Waupaca, hi.
Hi. I'd just like to agree with your guest that vitamin D can be so very important for mental and physical health. I had a lot of problem with depression and no energy. And then I started taking 3,000 IUs of vitamin D after I heard a program on Wisconsin Public Radio. And I have a lot of energy now, and I have no problem with depression.
Well, that is wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Maddie, yeah, fantastic. Thanks for sharing your story. And it speaks to many of us are vitamin D3 deficient, and we don't even realize it. So it may be worth talking with your physician about it for all of those who are listening.
So thinking about the toolkit, change your mindset. If you can't get out of winter, it's better to get into it. You work toward a goal. Maybe you're planning a vacation. Maybe you're volunteering or doing something for a worthy cause. Be active. Exercise. Get outside. Do some sledding with your kids. Get them involved. Vitamin D3, as we've just heard from Maddie, can be a big help. You get some social support and call your doctor. And those are the points I think we got covered.
Some of the main tools in the winter survival kit.
Well, it was a lot of fun talking with you. Thank you so much, Shyla, and I hope you'll come back and be with us again.
I would love to. Thank you.
It was great fun talking with Shyla Mergane, who is a PhD senior health and sports psychologist at the University of Wisconsin Hospitals and Clinics. Great to have her along. It's wonderful to have a toolkit like that just to really think about it. And you know, one of the ways that I get through the winter, too, is to dig into a great book. I love, if I'm inside, you know, all right, if I'm not going outside, I'm going to sit down with a good book. And a really wonderful children's book can lift your spirits or your children's spirits. So coming up next, we're going to visit with award-winning Wisconsin children's book author and illustrator Kevin Hankus. And so he's got some cool things to say, and I hope you'll stay with us right here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.